నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికే. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. Okay, we'll recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Huh? You all can please repeat after me. Yatra naisarga durvairaha sahasandra mrigadayah mitrani iva ajitavasa drutaruttarshakadikam. Somebody can read the meaning, please.
Transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship.
It's a very nice purport. Special, please read it.
The word vana means forest. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Even in this material world, in the forest, the animals live together, and when they go to drink water, they do not attack anyone. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification, for the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. Even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, "Come here and take a little milk." Thus, envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan.
So, till now, 2 points Prabhupada has made. Huh? The first point is, there is no sense gratification in Vrindavan. Everybody is working only for the pleasure of Krishna. Huh? Another point he has made is, there is no malice or envy between the living entities in Vrindavan. And you all know, Haridas Thakur was living in a cave where there was a big snake also living, isn't it? Huh? And Haridas Thakur was peacefully continuing chanting japa. So I was wondering whether we'll be able to chant peacefully. Huh? Imagine somebody tells you there is one small snake in this room. Huh? Immediately we will jump on the top of the table. So that the snake cannot climb in the top, isn't it? So Haridas Thakur was living in a cave and he was peacefully doing japa when some Vaishnavas came to meet him. They saw the huge mountain serpent. And they were all staring at it. And Haridas Thakur thought that, "I think you all are a little afraid about this snake. Don't worry. Tomorrow I will relocate to another residence." Huh? Residence means another cave. Huh? So, recently in our yatra to Rishikesh and Haridwar, we went to a cave of Tatwala Baba. Huh? We went to see that place. My Lord! The cave was like a house only, like this, big. In the house, of course, you have properly formed rooms you have. But they have a big entry, one small entrance, but once you go inside, it is very huge. It's like a stone house, you can say, made of stone walls. And it is very cool in summer and very warm in winter. So Haridas Thakur used to live like that in such a cave. But when Vaishnavas came, for the sake of Vaishnavas, he was ready to relocate from that beautiful place. But then hearing that, the snake who was there, he slithered away to another place, thinking that I don't want to cause nuisance to this fellow. He's a Vaishnava. Because Prabhupada says, the super soul in the heart of snake told him, "Get out of here." Lord told him, "Don't disturb this Vaishnava." So, which actually goes to show that the saintly people in the forest actually are not hurt by these animals, although they live in the same place. So, he's talking about Vrindavan especially. Read further. So, two things we have read till now. There is no sense gratification, there is no envy or malice. Go ahead.
That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. We are horrified to hear the name of Vana, the forest. But in Vrindavan, there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. Krishnor Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro. Whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy. The cat is happy. The dog is happy. The man is happy. Everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and thus there is no envy. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan, we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness.
Now another point Prabhupada is making, a third point he's making. He is saying that in Vrindavan, the principle of Vrindavan is live and let live. Jiyo jinedo, you say, no? So, the monkeys sometimes may be found to be stealing our fruits which you are carrying in our bags. But that is because Prabhupada says they have the right to live. We are coming to their place and taking away the things which they are meant to eat. So they have to take it from you to eat and survive. And Krishna also supplies butter to the monkeys, you know. Krishna was thinking, in Ram Lila I didn't give them any gifts. Now let me give them butter now. So he supplied them profuse butter. So in this way, here the third point is about right to live. Material world means I win, you lose. Spiritual world means I win, you also win. And everyone can win. Spiritual world means abundance mentality. Material world means scarcity mentality. In material world, if you win, oh, I am lost. If I win, I think, oh, you are finished. Whereas in spiritual world, I can win, you can win, everyone can win. Because our goal is not to win over one another. Our goal is to serve Krishna, please Krishna, like that he says. So this is about right to live, he's speaking. And another thing Prabhupada is saying is, sharing, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. It's called spiritual communism. Spiritual communism means, Krishna is the center. With Krishna's permission and sanction, we will all accept whatever is given as our quota. You know, in the Samudra Manthan Leela, the demons and demigods came together for churning the milk ocean, isn't it? Generally, they cannot come together. But you know what was the thought of demons? The demons thought that the demigods are weak in this particular situation and we are mightier because we have taken over the demigods' kingdom. So they thought that we will use the demigods for our purpose, and once Amrit comes, we will snatch it and run away. That was their actual plan. And as far as the demigods were concerned, they thought that Vishnu is telling us to go and collaborate with demons. So we will collaborate. Why? For Vishnu's pleasure. Because Vishnu is telling us. Actually, it is a humiliation upon Indra to go to demons and say, sir, can you please collaborate with us? But Indra still agreed because Vishnu had asked him to do. This is one good quality in the demigods. Demigods actually cooperate with whatever the Lord wishes. They comply with his wish. So the demigods went. But then, actually Lord had told the demigods, you know, while you are churning the milk ocean, if you are obedient to me, at the end you will get amritam. But you have to be obedient to me. Whatever I say, you should obey. The Lord said, many gifts will come out of the milk ocean, but you should not be greedy for them. You should not chase after them. You cannot snatch them. Only if I pick up and give you, you can eat. I can accept. Otherwise not. Like there was one test conducted abroad in Stanford. This university people, for small children at the age of 4 or 5, from that age they started. So they went to a particular room like this. 4 or 5 children are sitting in one classroom. Like that, they went to some 8 or 10 classrooms. So the teacher would go and put one toffee on a plate for each of the children and tell them, see, Some children, as soon as they would put a toffee, immediately they would pick up. Teacher said, see, nobody should touch it. If you wait till I finish all the 8 classes and come, then you will get a second one. Otherwise, you will get only one. Right now, if you want, you will get only one. You can eat it away. But if you wait, I will give you one more. So some children agreed. So when the teacher went, the children were very tempted to eat it. Some children, you know, I have the video also. I have to just locate it.
It's called marshmallow test.
You've seen that?
Yes.
How many of you have seen it? Y'all have seen it, okay. Handful of people have seen it. If I have it, I can show you. How do you spell it, Mataji?
M-A-R-S-H-M-E-L-L-O-W. Marshmallow test.
It is here.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. This is a test. Put it.
When I come back, I'll give you another one. So then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. Leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
Yeah. That was a very small child who could not resist the temptation. That other one. Okay. So you saw the children were trying to resist the temptation. Similarly, for demigods also, they have material desires, no? Correct? Demigods actually want to serve Krishna, but they also have mental disease. Still they agreed to resist the temptation. Many gifts would come and you should not run after them. Lord said, okay, we will not run. What else? The Lord told them that you, when demons are picking up those gifts, you should not become envious of them. Some people say, some students call me and ask me from different colleges, Prabhu, other boys are copying an exam, can we also copy? Then I used to ask them, okay, if teacher allows you to copy, you can copy. Because sometimes the teacher says, anybody can copy because there are enough jobs available for all of you. Your copying or exchanging papers doesn't make any sense. They want 150 people and we only have 20. Then it is all right. Is it the case? I asked. They said, no, definitely not. If we are caught, we will be certainly punished. That means you are not supposed to do. Isn't it? So Lord told them, if others are stealing anything, you should not become greedy or envious of them. Don't be lusty, don't be greedy, don't be angry. The Lord, and don't be fearful if halahala poison comes. Because I will make an arrangement to protect you. See, as devotees in our life also, when dangers come, we become fearful. When opportunities come, we become greedy. So this is all a test. The Lord gave such a test to the demigods. And then the Lord said, but have faith in me that at the end of the day you will get Amrit. That is my part. I will do my part. So many things happen. You will see in that pastime, it's a very beautiful pastime, Samudra Manthan. In fact, that pastime teaches sadhana bhaktas what to do, what not to do in our life. The demon suddenly at one time protested that we will not do the churning, because one demon whispered to other demon, said, see, Vishnu has given us the tail end, but he has given the head end to the demigods. What does that mean? Another demon didn't know what it was. Then demon said, Akhir Pucham Amangalam, he said, this tail end is inauspicious. He has cheated us. We boycott. But then the Lord asked the demigods, see, they don't want to pull the tail end of the Vasuki. Are you ready to come that side? Demigod said, we will come wherever you call us. Tell us to go back to our abodes, we will go back. Tell us to pull the tail end, we will pull. Tell us to pull the face of the Vasuki, we will pull that side. We are your servants. We will do what you tell us. That was the surrender and submission and obedience to Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu told them, okay, come to the tail side. But then the Vasuki started emanating fiery smoke and poison. And all the demons were terribly affected. All the demons were shouting at one another, you fool, you only wanted us to come this side. Just look at the situation. They were saying like that. So in this way, when the gifts came one by one by one, the demigods were seeing them, but they were not chasing after them. They controlled their anger, controlled their greed. And then demons were picking up and running. Varuni came, demons picked up and ran also. Finally, when the Amrit came, who brought it? You know who brought the Amrit Kalash? Dhanvantri brought it. Yeah. Dhanvantri brought it. The demon saw Dhanvantri bringing Kalash. Who is Dhanvantri? He is an incarnation of Vishnu also. He is a Vishnu. He is also Vishnu. He is one form of Vishnu, is Dhanvantri. You must have seen in Ayurvedic hospitals, they have the Chaturbhuja Roop of Dhanvantri carrying that nectar also. So they stole it from, the demon stole it from Dhanvantri and ran away. Here comes the point I was about to show you, tell you this point. The mightier demons took the Amrit Kalash and ran. They are called the capitalist demons. But the other weaker demons, they were sitting in one corner thinking that we will not get it. So they were speaking communist philosophy. They said, "Arey, sabko bant kar kana chahiye. Aap log utha kar leke gaye. Hum logon ko bol gaya." The mighty demon said, "Might is right. We will eat first. Whatever is left is for you." So, but both these demons, they never talked one word about Vishnu. Even in this world, you will find America is a capitalist country. Russia has been a communist country, and communist fall down was there of communism. But these communists and capitalists, they never bring in the subject of God. You have seen that? Similarly, these demons also, mighty demons were carrying the Amrit Kalash. They said, hell with Vishnu, we don't care. Our job is done now. Mil gaya humko bas. And what about demigods? Demigods, ha ha ha, they were laughing at them. Demigods are fools. We got our work done through them. So we win and they lose. They went for a win-lose. And when Lord watched them doing all these things, so ho, then Lord became Mohini Murthy, isn't it? And Mohini Murthy walked amongst the demons and was looking at every demon with her eye. And then the demons were all thinking that, who is this lady? And then they all were inquiring her, who are you? Whose daughter are you? You see, even demons were cultured enough to ask, whose daughter are you? So that they can meet the father and get married to her. But Mohini Murthy, when she was looking at the mightier demons lost good sense. They told her that you take this pot and you distribute it amongst us. She said, I am a lonely woman, how do you trust me? I will do whatever I want. Is that all right? They said, no problem, do it. And they lost their good intelligence. And then she took it, you all know what she did. She went to the demigod side and she distributed, and demons didn't get anything. So one form of Vishnu, Dhanvantri, they tried to cheat him. And another form of Vishnu took away the nectar part. Because she is also who? Vishnu only. Dhanvantri is also Vishnu. Mohini Murthy is also Vishnu. Correct, no? So in this way, both the weak demons and mighty demons, they both denied Vishnu's plan. They acted independent of Vishnu's plan. Result, they lost the end result. Correct, no? In that chapter, there is one very nice sloka towards the end. It says, the time, the place, the situation, the goal, everything was same for both demons and demigods. But who got? Demigods won and demons lost. Because demigods followed Vishnu. They were obedient to Vishnu. Like that it is said. So, here Prabhupada says, in Vrindavan also, what is his mentality? Whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. That's the mentality he is saying. That means, in Vrindavan, see, this is a very preliminary explanation is made here, but you can consider a deeper explanation. For example, in a community of devotees, different devotees do different services. So, how do we consider our service and other service? So, Prabhupada writes in another purport, one should not be proud of one's own service. One should consider all services to be equal on the absolute platform. One should appreciate devotees who are able to do services with different capacity. Because everybody does in different capacity. So all that is included in this. And also, one has the abundance mentality. Prabhupada says, this mentality, what is that mentality? It is abundance mentality. Abundance means, like Yudhishthira Maharaj had a mentality that everyone can flourish with prosperity. That was his idea. Actually, when Yudhishthira Maharaj asked for 5 villages, Duryodhana said, I won't even give you a needle tip of land. Correct? Huh? So he was extremely unreasonable. Duryodhana was thinking always win-lose. I win and you are Pandavas lose. So in this way, this is the... And then Prabhupada writes, one more. Read this further.
In the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely. Yet those to whom the food is given may not even feel appreciative. The value of Krishna consciousness, however, will gradually be very much appreciated. For instance, in an article about the temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, all the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna, and the results are obvious to see. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities.
Yeah, this is very important. If somebody asks you, what did you gain by becoming a devotee? These are the things Prabhupada says. What he says? Prabhupada was a very expert preacher. Like Prabhupada saw the hippies with the long matted hair and big mustache and beard and wearing dresses which they didn't wash for months. And they wouldn't take bath for a long time, many, many days. But when they started chanting and becoming devotees, then they would clean shave, wear dhoti, kurta, kantimala and bead bag and became perfect gentlemen, well-behaved with etiquettes and everything. Prabhupada said, they appear like they have descended from Vaikuntha, he said. No? So, in this way, it is a fact I'll show you one picture where how happy devotees are around Prabhupada. I'll just show you that. See this picture, huh? Many of them may be known to you, actually. See, Prabhupada is walking in the morning walk or somewhere. Next to him there is His Holiness Tamakshna Maharaj. This side there is Harishauri Prabhu. Right behind Prabhupada is Dhanavir Maharaj. At that time he was a grihastha. Later on he took Vanachari and then... But one thing common in all their faces you will find. See that, how cheerful, isn't it? It's very amazing. So, Prabhupada is saying, happiness, good health, peace of mind, and development of all good qualities, he says. Yes, read further. This is the nature of Vrindavan.
This is the nature of Vrindavan. Haro abhaktasya kuto mahadgunaha. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind and all good qualities through God consciousness.
Yeah. So this is a very beautiful verse which we recited just now. Yatra naisargad. Naisarga means naturally. Yatra naisarg durvairaha sahasa nirmrgadeha mitrani iva ajitavasa druta rut tarshakadikam. So he is saying there is no hunger, there is no anger, there is no thirst in Vrindavan. And also there is durvairaha means there are creatures which have natural enmity. It is said that in Lord Shiva's family there are creatures which have opposite natures but they don't quarrel, which is very rare. Like the Parvati's Vahana. What is Parvati's Vahana? Tiger or lion, isn't it? What is Shiva's Vahan? Nandi, bull. Are they friends? Tiger attacks bull, isn't it? And also, in Shiva's neck there is snake. And what is Ganesha's Vahan? Yeah, are they friends? Are they friends? Because the snake eats the mouse, isn't it? So like that you can see, there is a, what is Vahan of Kartikeya? Peacock. And peacock and snake are enemies also. Because peacocks eat snakes. So there is a snake in Shiva's neck, there is peacock Vahan of Kartikeya. So they all appear to be Yatra Naisarga Durvaira, which means by nature they are inimical creatures. But can anybody say why all these Vahanas are living in the same house of Shiva? But there doesn't seem to be any quarrel. Because if they ate them up, then you won't find them. Poor Ganesh won't have any Vahan. If the mouse is eaten by the, by the snake. Isn't it snake? How many enmities are there? Snake and mouse, peacock and snake, and bull and tiger. Correct, no? So there are these three enmities are there. So how in Shiva's family these enmities are resolved? Okay, do you know how? Because Shiva is always dancing in transcendental ecstasy, it is said. When he is floating in spiritual bliss, they don't quarrel, it is said. So here also he is talking about Vrindavan. So the material world is a place of competition and spiritual world is a competition-less society. I'll show you another verse which says this fact. In 1.1.2 you will get. What is that 1.1.2? Dharma prochita kaita patra paramodur nirmatsaranam satam. So that is the first line. Nirmatsaranam satam. Non-envious. Somebody can help me read this one? I'll tell you which place. Read this one in the material world. Yeah. beginning from here.
In the material world, there is a keen competition between animal and animal, man and man, community and community, nation and nation. But the devotees of the Lord rise above such competitions.
It's a very important point. He says that between one man and another man, one animal and another animal, there is competition, isn't it? Like you see, a fly is eaten by a frog. A frog is eaten by a snake. A snake is eaten by an eagle. Correct, no? So in animal kingdom, there is competition. In human kingdom, is there a competition or not? A small businessman is eaten by a bigger businessman. Isn't it? Like the shopping malls come and they swallow the smaller shops. Because in shopping malls, they sell potato at 15 rupees, while the smaller shops sell them at 25 rupees. Then gradually people stop going to smaller shops and go to shopping mall and say that they are so cheap. But after 3 months, all small shops are closed. Then the shopping mall will have monopoly. Then they will make it 50 rupees per kilo. That's how they loot the public, you see. In this way, bigger businessmen swallow smaller businessmen, correct? In this way, in this world also there is competition, he says. There is fear also. Mughals were ruling us, then British were ruling. After the Japanese tried, Chinese tried, Pakistan has also tried once. So, in this way, countries have fear. Prabhupada says that, but the devotees of the Lord rise above such competitions. Read for them.
They do not compete with the materialistic.
They do not compete.
Yeah, they did not compete with the materialistic. Materialist. Because they are on the path back to Godhead where life is eternal and blissful.
This is the reason. Why a devotee does not compete with anyone in this world? Because what is the goal of the devotee? Back to Godhead. If you want to go back to Godhead, what is the competition? For example, say one of you says that I want to dance in Kirtan. Say Manajyoti Prabhu wants to dance. Is there any competitor for dancing? If somebody else wishes to dance, Swaminathan Prabhu also wants to dance, will he be allowed or not? No, only one will be allowed to dance. Is it like that? Both of them can dance, isn't it? In this world, in spiritual life, you will see everybody. That is why he says that in the devotional path, it depends on our goal. See, there are two roads. One road is road aiming at sense gratification. That road is filled with traffic. There's a traffic jam there. Bah, bah, bah. Everybody wants to go. There are scooters, there are sumos, there are cars. There are big cars also. And the scooter wallas are going like this in between, like snakes. In between and going ahead. And the police are whistling and controlling. There is another road, servant of servant of servant road. That is completely calling. And it is completely empty. Very few people, once in a while somebody goes there. Although this road is empty, nobody wants to go there. And this road, the road for, name, fame, glory, popularity, limelight, that road is very busy road. You will see that. So sense gratification is of different orders. It can begin from grass and then become subtler and subtler, correct? So in this world, the desire to impress is so strong, rooted, that all living entities are in this road only. Correct, no? For example, you go to temple and say, Prabhu, will I be allowed to, render some service in the temple? Do you think anybody will say, no service for you? Prabhuji, am I allowed to take jadu and do some jadu poncha? Prabhuji, can I wash the pots? Or can I be allowed to wash the plates after the Sunday when devotees eat? Prabhuji, can I be allowed in the kitchen to cook? Prabhu, can I assist in gardening? So do you think any competition is there for you? Any of you? Prabhuji, will I be allowed to go to Jivadaya department and take some books and go and distribute? No competition for you. They will, with open arms, they will welcome you. Correct, no? But on the other hand, the privileges that come with service, that is what in this world people are competing for. Correct, no? So, you will see that that is why he says the devotees of the Lord rise above such competitions. Because if you want to go back to Godhead, the path is a very straight and simple path. Because if you go to spiritual world, the first question they will ask you, whom do you know? So you have to say, Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivinoda. Oh, you are ISKCON. Okay. So that's very wonderful. What is your name? Your name should have a dasara, dasi. Then they will say, very good, you are a servant. So what do you want to do inside? If somebody says, I want an easy chair for relaxing, they will say, get lost, they will say. But if what you should say? Give me. What is one question that Prabhupada asked his guru always? How can I serve you? So this is the question we have to ask. Oh, I have come here to render service. Service to whom? Service to Hari, Guru, Vaishnavas. I want to render service to Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. Then how long? 1 week or 2 weeks? Yeah? For eternity. Are you sure? Anything else you want? Nothing else. Tadakchak, rubber stamp they'll put and send you inside. So we should know to answer the questions properly. Interview. Interview at the entrance. So Chatushkumaras are not allowed entry by Jai Vijay because they were impersonalists. You see? So that is why they were stopped by Jai Vijay. So we will not be stopped provided we answer the questions properly. Correct, no? So if service is your ambition, you have no competition in this world. But there can be competition even in doing service if one brings in the false ego. Because sometimes, like I remember, somebody wants to dress the Lord on the festival day. People say, I want to dress the Lord on the festival day only. Why? Because many people will ask, itna dressing sundar kisne kiya? Correct, no? They will, then they feel that yes, then people will consider my name. So, whether it is dressing for the deity, cooking for the deity, whether it is preaching, giving lectures, whether we do any type of service, the intention behind the service matters a lot, which is known to us and Krishna also. Krishna knows it and we also know it. So, that is why Prabhupada says, the devotees of the Lord rise above such competitions. And then read further, they do not compete with the materialist because they are on the path back to Godhead where life is eternal and blissful. Such transcendentalists are non-envious and pure in heart. Two things he is saying, non-envious and pure in heart. Actually, if one is not pure in heart, there is kama, krodha and loba. Kama means, I want. Sometimes you see the children are like that. See this child, you will get an idea. So this is called lust. Lust means, I want, very adamant, you saw that? And greed means, I want more. And greed actually is the cause of competition. So, I will show you one. This is the one. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, this is the one. Please observe this. I will ask you three things you have to observe. So, what did you observe in this?
Both are trying to win at any cost.
At any cost. So, how he was pressing the accelerator, you saw, no? Because he wants to win at any cost. One, that was one thing. So, both are overexerting beyond their capacity. Correct, no? What else you have observed?
They want the other to be out of the competition.
So, did you see both the fellows kicked one another in two different instances? Is it allowed in the game? It's not allowed. If two devotees are doing service, if one devotee wants to pull the leg of another service, just because he wants his name to come, correct, no? That is what, this is the second one. What else? Unhealthy
competition.
Yeah?
Unhealthy competition.
It's unhealthy competition. Very good.
And both lose, finally.
Yeah?
Both lose.
Both lose. Yeah, correct. That is true. See, it's a true story in America. One man got a divorce. The court declared that all his property should be equally shared with his wife. And that was the declaration court gave. So he sold his house in $10 and sold his car in $4. And all his friends were shocked. Has he gone berserk? What happened? He said, whether I get money or not, that is not the point. What was his point? She should not get. This is called lose-lose. You see? So this is that type of world of competition. Such kind of sadistic competition, you see. So Prabhupada says that such transcendentalists, which is devotees, they are actually non-envious and pure in heart. See, non-envious means sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu. At all living entities live happily. There is enough for everybody. That kind of consciousness, there is a saying, you know, there is enough for everyone, but there is not enough for one person's greed. There is enough for everyone's need, but not for one person's greed. That is it. And that one person is Hiranyakashipu. You know, he was not satisfied. There is one verse which says, although he conquered all the world, you know, all the three worlds, still he was not happy. So, this kind of greed can also come in devotee's life if a devotee is not attentive to spiritual life. Greed can come. Like one devotee went to take up a job which was far away from devotees, no association there. But he was getting 15,000 rupees more, you know. And he thought, he said, Prabhu, I will hear Skype lectures, surely, whenever meetings happen. And I'll make phone calls regularly to counselor and keep in touch. But after going there, husband and wife had one realization that their expenses became very increased because they were away from devotees. It's called as artificial demands of the mind. Mind starts saying that we need this, we need that. We need a little bigger house because mind wants more space. And in this way, they wanted bigger and bigger, many things. And they found that the 15,000 what they got extra was getting over. And what they were saving before was more than now. Immediately after 2 years, they dropped job and came back to devotees. And when they were with devotees, with little, they were happy. But there, with lots, they were not satisfied. You understand, no? So in this way, and the greed means, I want more, I want more. And anger means unfulfilled expectations, which means unrealistic expectations. That leads to frustration, and frustration leads to anger. And Prabhupada says, if one is angry, his anger shows up in the eyes, his eyes are bloodshot. If he becomes angry, then his volume increases. And if his anger becomes even more, he raises the hand. And if one becomes even more angry, then one may beat up the other person, or more anger means he will kick the things with his leg. Similarly, when you chant Hare Krishna, you feel some bliss. Then your chanting becomes more louder. Like Rana Swami Maharaj used to say, no? 10 million times louder, please. Correct? Remember? Correct. He used to say that. So, then you chant loud and ecstasy. And then when you feel more ecstasy, then you raise your arms. In case you feel even more ecstasy, then you stand up. If you feel more ecstasy, then you do Swami step. You start dancing. If your ecstasy goes beyond limit, you jump up and down, Hari Bol. Isn't it? So, our internal state of heart is externally expressed by the body also. In the same manner, here he says that pure at heart means One should be free from this basic impurity, which are called abhadra. Hridayantastohi abhadrani vidhunoti. When one is purified in the heart, and actually the envy encompasses all the previous ones. Kama, krodha, lobha, madha. And the last one is matsarya. Moha, after that madha, then matsarya comes. So, devotees of the Lord should be free from envy or dvesh bhavana. Means what? It is actually, one should become a well-wisher for all living beings, living entities. One should desire. Well. There is one prayer of Prahlad in the fifth canto where he says, "My dear Lord, may all living entities give up their envy and let them all worship you. And by worshipping you and pleasing you, let them all become happy." Like that he prays. And this kind of heart Yudhishthira Maharaj had. Actually, if you consider Yudhishthira Maharaj's character, we will feel very ashamed that we have a long way to go. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj, you all know one morning Dhritarashtra was missing in the palace. When Yudhishthira Maharaj got up, he took his bath, met the brahmanas and gave them charity. And then he came to the main assembly hall. He didn't find Dhritarashtra there. He asked Sanjaya. Sanjaya said, "I also don't know." Then Yudhishthira Maharaj started weeping. "My dear uncle, where are you? I killed your 100 sons simply to occupy this throne and become king of the world. I am a great violent man. Probably having lost your sons, you have become broken-hearted and you have jumped into Ganga and drowned yourself. Where are you? I don't know. Have you gone away? Why you went away without telling us?" And then he said, "When we were fatherless children in the forest, when Pandu had passed away, you brought us from the forest to the palace and took such nice care of us." So somebody may ask, "Nice care? What nice care he took? He sent them to Varanavat to burn the Pandavas. He allowed Bhima to be poisoned by Duryodhana." But Yudhishthira Maharaj never thought of those things. "You took care of us. You trained us and you brought the Dronacharya to train us. And you raised us so nicely." He was very grateful. Even to a personality like... See, if Yudhishthira can be grateful to Dhritarashtra, do you think he will not be grateful to anyone else? Dhritarashtra was like sworn enemy for the Pandavas. He could be so grateful. Very big heart. So, how many of you are confident that Yudhishthira Maharaj wished well for Dhritarashtra? He wished well for him. Correct? No? Yeah. Of course, Bhima was not like that. Bhima and others, like you all know that pastime of how Duryodhana once, near the riverside, he had built some pleasure bungalows. Bungalows were enjoying to prove to Pandavas that how happy we are. But those pleasure bungalows were made in an area where Gandharvas used to come for sporting. It was their allotted area. So they protested. They said, "You cannot do this. Quit this place." Duryodhana said, "Who are you to ask me to quit?" "You quit," he said. They said, "Are you ready for a war?" Duryodhana said, "Yes, why not?" Then there was a war that ensued between them. But in that, Duryodhana very pathetically was defeated. And all the Kauravas and the ladies, they were all arrested. And Gandharvas were about to take them to their abode. At that time, one Duryodhana side of soldier swam across the river and came to this side of the river. At that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj and Draupadi were sitting together performing a yajna in the forest arranged by the brahmanas for the welfare of all praja, everyone. So it was a very peaceful atmosphere on this side. And then the sainik came and told, "There's a great danger for Duryodhana. Can you please help?" And understanding situation, when Yudhishthira Maharaj called for Bhima and Arjuna, Bhima, when he came to hear this, he laughed like anything. He said, "Well done, well done. This fellow came to forest to show off to us. Now let him be captured and taken to Gandharva Loka. Let him suffer. Let him be arrested in the jail there." He was very happy. But Yudhishthira said, "See, this is not a proper consciousness, you see. We are 5, they are 100. But when there is danger for the Kaurava race, we are 105. We should be together." Then he told Bhima, "You are supposed to go and help him. He is like your brother. Go and help him." But then Yudhishthira Maharaj was not very confident that Bhima will help. So he sent Arjuna also with him. "Arjuna, take care that he helps. So you go with him also." But Yudhishthira Maharaj had a very... You know, I was very stunned to hear one pastime in Mahabharata. You all know the Yaksha? When Yaksha was asking many questions, Yudhishthira answered. Lastly, Yaksha told Yudhishthira, thank you for all your brilliant spiritual answers. Now he said, you can ask for one of your brothers, I will liberate one of your brothers from the dead body. Yudhishthira asked for Nakul. And Yaksha asked, Nakul you are asking, what about Arjuna? Yudhishthira said, no. What about Bhima? He said, no, I want only Nakul. And Yaksha asked, why? He said, for Kunti, I am there. But for Madhuri, at least one son should be there. He was so much equal-minded. You see? Even Yaksha's heart melted hearing this. He said, I'll give you all your brothers back. Take them. So, in this way, from Yudhishthira Maharaj, we can learn how to have a golden heart. You see, in the beginning of Kurukshetra, one fellow cried. After the Kurukshetra war was over, another fellow cried. Anybody knows? Beginning, who cried?
Arjuna.
And out came Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? At the end of Kurukshetra, who cried? Yudhishthira. And out came Vishnu Sahasranam. From the mouth of? Bhishma Pitama. Correct, no? So when great devotees cry, something wonderful comes out also. Because Lord uses them to do bring out something wonderful to them. But one important point here is, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know how he was crying? He said, I am the cause of this great war. Why should I allow such a war to happen? And Krishna said, I only told all of you to fight. It was not your desire. But Yudhishthira wasn't satisfied with Krishna. Because Krishna was right above him as an authority. And Krishna's words did not pacify him by Krishna's desire only. And then Krishna took him to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva couldn't satisfy him. Then he was taken to whom? Bhishma Pitama, who was lying in the arrow bed, still in the battlefield, still alive. And who was most respected and loved affectionately by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because Bhishma Pitama was such a just and reasonable great soul. You know, if he says something, Yudhishthira Maharaj will close his eyes and put faith in. He had deepest respect amongst all the great personalities. So that is why Krishna knew that. Krishna took him to Bhishma. He told the Pandavas, you dress up yourself in the best of the dresses. Your war was still not yet over. Still Krishna said, come in a golden chariot, wear the costliest garments and ornaments. Let Bhishma see all of you in this form. And let Bhishma become jolly in his heart. So Krishna wanted to give joy to Bhishma. He wanted to give enlightenment to Yudhishthira. And he wanted to just be a silent witness sitting by the side of Bhishma and hearing from Bhishma. That is Krishna's humility. You see? And when Bhishma saw the Pandavas, he cried tears of joy and affection. And that time Bhishma said, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yadyuyam dharmanandana. Oh, my dear Pandu's children, you all followed the path of dharma, vipra dharma achyuta ashrayaha. He says, you took shelter of Vaishnavas, dharma and Lord Krishna. You are all such pure souls. All through the adversities, you never walked the wrong path. You know, when your wife was insulted in the sabha, at the time Krishna gave unlimited sari and protected her. You Pandavas could have raised your weapons and hit Duryodhana, Dushasana and all the Asat kings. You were so righteous. And in this way, Bhishma glorified the Pandavas. And then, hearing from Bhishma, Yudhishthira became pacified after that. So you can see Yudhishthira Maharaj is one ideal example of somebody in Vaikuntha consciousness on earth. This is actually Vaikuntha consciousness. How many of you are convinced that Prahlad desired well wishes for his father? Hiranyakashipu, all of you convinced, correct? What is the proof that Prahlad desired good wishes for his father? He didn't envy his father and think that, you know, he's such an atrocious man. And that fellow would ride many assassination attempts on Prahlad. See, if somebody tries to kill us, can we ever think I can do good for him? But Prahlad wished well for even him. Yeah. What is the proof? Yeah, correct. So he asked Narasimhadev to protect his father. Prabhupada says everybody in this world has affection for the relatives. But Prahlad purified that affection by asking for deliverance of his father. Correct, no? So in this way, the great souls were free from envy, even for those who considered themselves their enemies. Actually, Yudhishthira Maharaj never thought Duryodhana as his enemy. He thought of him as his brother. So, in this way, even if some other jiva is envious, how should we see it? We should see them as ignorant. Like Buddha says, when somebody is doing certain things in this world against you, what you should think? You should consider them ignorant. Don't consider them envious. Because if you consider them envious, then you will not be able to control your anger. But if you consider them as ignorant, you will feel sympathy for them. You can feel compassion and you can help them. And that is how Prahlad felt sympathy for Hiranyakashipu. Yudhishthira felt sympathy for Duryodhana. Isn't it? It's very amazing. So, in this way, in the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. Therefore, there is competition, Prabhupada says. But those are spiritual personalities, these two characteristics, non-envious and pure in heart. See, in the same first canto, Prabhupada says China and India were good friends at one time, he says. But at another time, 1964, China waged a war against India for a desolate land, which is uncultivable land. Nobody can use that land, useless land. Why? Because Prabhupada says India and China were God-fearing and pure in heart and simple before. But now they have given up worship of God and they have given up their purity by falling prey to vices, and they are no more simple. They have become political and complicated because of which they are fighting. And this can happen even to somebody who is religious. Even a religious person, if he becomes too much attached to materialistic things in religious life and doesn't remain simple, pure at heart and God-fearing, then even in religious circles there can be complications, correct, now in this world. So, that's why he's saying that, see this point, in the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else and therefore there is competition. But the transcendental devotees of the Lord are not only free from material envy, but are well-wishers to everyone. And they strive to establish a competition-less society with God in the center, like the Prabhupada says. So spiritual world is a place of competition-less society. And material world is a place of competition. This is the conclusion. So spiritual world is a competition-less society, material world is a place of competition. So coming back to our original verse, yatra naisarga durvairaha sahasan nrimrgadeva. That verse talks about Vrindavan, the spiritual world. I will say a few words about the spiritual world and I'll conclude. Here, the material envy and the competition of the material world is compared with the state of consciousness of the spiritual world. I'll just show you some verse. You all can repeat after me. It's a beautiful Sanskrit verse. Please repeat. You want Devanagari or English? Or I'll put both. Help. Vasanti yatra purushaha sarve vaikuntha murtayah animitta nimittena dharmena aradayan harim. Please read the translation, somebody.
In form to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
They also look like Vishnu. Then how do you distinguish? If everybody looks like Vishnu with 400 forms, then how do you know who is Vishnu and who is not? You see, when we are entering the Balaji temple, we have two personalities standing outside. Are they Vishnu or someone else? Who are they? Jaya Vijay. They are Vishnu Dutas. Correct, no? So how do you know? Because if Jaya Vijay also look like Vishnu and Vishnu also looks like Vishnu, how do you know the difference? Kaustubha Jewel. There is a Kaustubha Jewel in Vishnu's chest. What else? Srivatsa, golden hair in the Lord Vishnu's chest, yeah. Apart from that, anything else? Vaidurya Muni. Where is it? Vaidurya Marakata, that is like a necklace. Why do you wear a necklace he wears, okay? And most importantly, besides these three ornaments, the potency of Lord Vishnu is immeasurable, aprameyam, it is said. Aprameya, Vishnu Sahasranam Sotram, you will hear this word aprameya, it will come. Aprameya, prameyatma, like that there is one word, which means he has immeasurable strength. Just like you take a man, any citizen of India, he has two hands, two legs and one head. You take Narendra Modi ji, he has how many hands, how many legs? Two hands, two legs and one head. They look similar, no? Any human being from India and Narendra Modi, they look similar. What is the difference? Narendra Modi can declare a holiday for whole India, correct? Can any of you declare a holiday for whole India? Any of us? On our birthday? We can declare, only nobody will follow that, huh? Isn't it? So the potency varies between the citizens and the prime minister. Like that also, correct, no? Yeah. So in this way, what is the speciality of those Vaikunthavasis? He's saying here, they engage in devotional service to the Lord without desires for sense gratification. He's saying. See? He's saying, please read it.
The Vaikuntha planets is the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the original person and who can be understood through the Vedic literature. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness.
Yeah, uncontaminated mode of goodness means Shuddha Sattva. Beyond goodness also, yeah, yes.
With no place for passion or ignorance, he contributes religious progress for the devotees.
Yeah. You see, when the four Kumaras arrived at the door and Jai Vijay became angry, Vishnu came to the door along with Lakshmi. There was an umbrella above his head and some associates were also around him. And Vishnu was smiling at the Kumaras. Then Jai Vijay became a little worried, what about us? Then Vishnu smiled at Jai Vijay also. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Lord Vishnu smiled at the offenders and the offended. He's writing, he smiled. And both of them became confused. Abhi kiske saath Krishna, kiske saath nahi hai? Pata nahi. Kisko daant karna hai, disko daant dene wala hai? Pata nahi. So they were all amazed, all of them. So Prabhupada writes that Vishnu has a oceanic good qualities that he can forgive living entities very easily, without any difficulty. His patience span is immeasurable. Ocean of patience. So he saw Jai Vijay as his own servants, and he saw Kumara as his respectable brahmanas. So in this way, in Vishuddha Sattva platform, you know, it is very difficult to disturb the mind of a person. You know, when Bhrigumuni came and kicked on the chest of Vishnu, what he said? Oh, my chest is so hard, and your feet are so soft, let me massage your feet. And Lakshmi will find my chest very nice now to reside because you have put your dust off your lotus feet on my chest. Like that he said. So, it's unimaginable patience. I know, this is 1 hour is over now. I have told him to send a chit. Correct, look at it, is it 1 hour? Just see the chit. Open and see. What does the chit say?
We can start introduction. It will take 1.5 hours more.
Half an hour more. Yeah, now, is 1 hour over? Actually, I have told him, because I am going to multiple groups of counselor. After 1 hour, I told him to give me a signal. Now, we have to end now, but I'll include with this 2-3 verses and then. Please read this. Yeah, please read.
In those Vaikuntha planets, there are many forests which are very auspicious. In those forests, the trees are desired trees.
Kalpavriksha, yeah.
And in all seasons, they are filled with flowers and fruits because everything in the Vaikuntha planets is spiritual and personal.
Everything is personal. Nothing is impersonal there. The trees are Kalpavriksha trees. The cows are Kamadhenu cows. They give unlimited supply of milk. The trees give unlimited number of flowers and fruits. There is no limitation. Everything is personal there. He's saying, we said this verse. Vaimanika talalanash charita anishashwat. Gayantriya Gayanti Yatra Shamala Kshapanani Bartuhu Antarjalenu Vikasan Madhumadavinam Gandhena Khandita Diyopyanilam Kshipantaha. Read the meaning, please, somebody. Yeah.
In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants fly in their airplanes, accompanied by their wives and consorts.
Which means there also there are husband and wives, huh? Vaikuntha planets also, yes.
And eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blossoming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey.
Yeah, the Madhavi flowers send out powerful fragrance. When it comes in the nose, they khandam it. Khandita diyopyanilam kshipantaha. Why? Because let us not forget our service to Vishnu engrossed in the sense gratification. So they condemn sense gratification. Like this. Yeah, read this. Okay, we'll recite this. Paravatanya pritasarasa chakravaka Dātyūha, dātyūya, dātyūha hamsa shukatitti ribarhinamya Kola halo viramate chiramatra mucchaihi Bhrangadipe harikatami vagayamane. She's selling. Yeah.
When the king of bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the charvaka, the swan.
Chakravaka, yeah.
Sorry, chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord.
Yeah, so these are all powerful birds, you know, royal birds, royal singers. Cuckoo and chakravak. Sometimes we have a special day in the temple and kirtan. So some devotees say, if you don't give mic, then I will not sing. Actually, singing is not a performance. Singing is for whose pleasure? Krishna's pleasure. In case mic is not there, okay, sing without mic. So when similarly, some people demand the prime time. Because prime time, maximum number of eyes will be watching who is singing or something. So these are all anarthas, you see. Anarthas means we are doing devotion service, but there is a tendency for capturing the limelight. Here you find there is a bumblebee, you know, who is not a very great singer. Bzzz, that makes sound. But he is singing harikata. That's important. But even the peacock and the parrots and the swan and the cuckoo, they're all royal singers. So they become calm and they want to listen. Just like when Shukadeva is speaking, you know, Narada, Vyasa, they are all sitting and listening. You will see that. So like this, there are many verses, some of you might have gone through them. Basically, the non-envious nature of the Vaikuntha is being shown. And if you read this further series of verses, you will understand. So, summarize what we were discussing today. The Shastra should become a very practically useful, beneficial teaching for us in our personal lives. So that is why we were beginning the class today with one verse from the Brahma's prayers, because Brahma saw Vrindavan eye to eye. And in Vrindavan Dham, Brahma saw that how the living entities were living. So there is one purport which I will give you as a homework, which you all can go through leisurely. I'll tell you the number just now. This is the purport. Very powerful. See, you can note down 7.5.12. This is a very special purport about, if you want to give a heading to this, it is Vaikuntha thinking. So, in essence, this is the summary of what we discussed in today's class. That purport you can leisurely read, but somebody can read the summary and we'll conclude with this.
Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in the performing service. But in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability.
Correct. This is the summary of what we were discussing today. You see, when the two covered boys sometimes in the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna goes to see the Vanashobha. That time, two covered boys, they run and say, I will touch Krishna first. They try to run. In both the shlokas, in the I told you about the Samudra Manthan, there also it says, Ahampuram, Ahampuram, Natvam, Natvam, Iti Prabhu. They are saying, here also the word Ahampuram comes, you know, but what is the difference? If we know this difference, and if we can make it happen in our lives, we would have made a tremendous advancement. When two covered boys run, the covered boys, while running also, they are smiling at each other. Yeah. And also, the coward boys try to run and run faster than the other to inspire them to run faster than themselves. Yeah. And after reaching the destination, which is Krishna, if Krishna embraces one of them, the other one feels great pleasure, great joy that Krishna embraced him and he does not feel envious. These three conditions, Prabhupada says, should be endeavored by every devotee in one's life when we are in the society of devotees. So this purport 7.5.12. So at your own leisure, you all can read it. But actually, when I go to such programs like this, I take few points from the audience, what they remember and what they will carry home. I think Jayadev Prabhu has come. We are running short of time. But I will take 10 minutes, Prabhu. Is it all right? Yeah. So, two mics will be given. One for your side, one for Mataji's side. Give one Mataji's side. You have only one? Then you can give this one. So, what you all will do, recollect any point that you remember from the class that you are carrying home with you.
Prabhuji, about the difference between the spiritual world mentality and the material world mentality. Here there is scarcity mentality and everybody is competing that other person lose. And there in the spiritual world, there is abundance mentality and there is always win-win situations.
While serving, there should not be a rivalry and attitude should be to please Krishna.
But if someone else has rivalry towards you, then what you will do? That also I told you. Somebody else seems to be having little rivalry towards you. At that time, what should be your attitude?
We should ignore and keep on doing services. In ignorance, and we should feel sympathy about him rather than feel anger.
We should feel that they are ignorant. So, how I can help them, you can see. And also, I gave two examples of those who not only thought they are ignorant but also wished well for them.
Yes, Prahlad Maharaj and Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Very good. Thank you. Now, from this side.
In spiritual world, there is no competition. So, and the best life is to live is a God-centered life.
And we can
Yes.
At least in a small way.
Yes, like Prabhupada.
Following these laws of, universal laws of God, right? So following this.
Thanks, Prabhupada.
We read about Vaikuntha thinking, the competition, the how the competition in Vaikuntha is, and how it is different from the material world. One difference is we rejoice in whoever wins in the Vaikuntha competition, and we are happy that they are getting whatever they are getting from Krishna. And the real life, we would get envious. Pleasing Krishna. Pleasing ourselves.
There is self-gratification. Self-gratification. And that's the main reason. In material world, what happens, every living entity thinks of gratifying his own. It's like small centers all clashing with God. But in spiritual world, the common center is to please Krishna. Then everybody can draw bigger and bigger circles. All with one center. They don't collide. Thank you. Yeah, very nice. Now, Prabhuji's side.
Yudhishthira Maharaj, respect the elders. Elders.
What did you understand, Yudhishthira Maharaj? I told about Dhritarashtra, it's very elaborate.
Yeah.
What essential principles you received?
Yes. उनको respect देते थे कि वो older हो गया और मेरे चाचा जी अगर जाए तो कहाँ जाएंगे किधर जाएंगे उसको उनको अच्छा लग रहा कि वो उनके पिता उनके बच्चे से मर गए और नहीं है और दूसरे के लिए सहानुभूति दिखाई और मुझे लिए मेरे लिए लेकिन दूसरों के लिए भी चाहिए
इसलिए सोचा वो सब सही है वो अब इस तरह सोचना दूसरे के लिए बहुत स्वाभाविक था लेकिन हमारे दृष्टिकोण से अगर देखेंगे मैंने एक लड़के को पूछा अगर आप युधिष्ठिर के स्थान पर होते अगर आपके मामा धृतराष्ट्र गायब हो गए सुबह सुबह आप क्या सोचेंगे वो बोला कि मैं तो दिन अच्छा हो गया ऐसे उसने बोला ऐसे लोग अनेक क्योंकि धृतराष्ट्र एक बार बुलाया था ना भीम को मेरे पास आओ तो भीम भी जाने वाला था कृष्ण ने रोका था उनको कृष्ण ने एक पुतला को डाल दिया उनके सामने तभी जब उसने आलिंगन दिया पुतला को क्या हुआ उसको तोड़ दिया उसको पूरा तभी भीम ने देखा कृष्ण को देखा भीम कृष्ण भीम को देख रहे थे अरे डेंजर आदमी है इतना उसके अंदर घृणा था उनको मारने के लिए ऐसे आदमी को अभी युधिष्ठिर ने क्या माना
अच्छा माना उसको
ये कठिन बात है करेक्ट है ना जो अगर आपको कोई द्वेष करता है उसके लिए भी अच्छा ही सोचना आसान है
सही है
कठिन है ना वो
नहीं तो वो तो करना चाहिए लेकिन दूसरों को लिए रिस्पेक्ट देना ज्यादा अच्छा लगता
करेक्ट करेक्ट थैंक यू हरे कृष्णा मानव माता जी साहब
प्रभु जी वी शुड प्रेज वी शुड नॉट बी प्राउड ऑफ आवर सर्विसेज इंस्टेड वी शुड प्रेज द डिवोटीज एंड अप्रिशिएट देम इन द सर्विस
वेरी गुड ऑल्दो दिस मे नॉट बी नेचुरल फॉर मी व्हाट आई शुड डू आई शुड मेक एन एफर्ट सी इफ आई मेक एन एफर्ट लाइक फॉर एग्जांपल इफ समबडी इज बीइंग प्रेज्ड यू नो वी फील समथिंग हैपनिंग इन आवर स्पाइन अरे व्हाई You know, that person is being appreciated and I'm not, some butterflies are flying in the stomach, you know, we feel. But if one feels that, okay, let me do it as a duty, then gradually we will develop the habits of Vaikuntha. Thank you. Prabhuji Sai.
Real happiness is in Krishna consciousness. That was mentioned in one of the purports. Prabhuji, I have a small question, can I ask? Then Prabhuji, we find people here who are materially so engrossed, we find them also happy. Then
are happy in illusion. They are happy, but their happiness is very short-lived happiness. For example, you put a gulab jamun in your tongue, you are happy. But that will last only 2-3 minutes. Once it goes down, finish, it will turn into something else after that. And then if mental happiness, you sing some music, some song. For 3-4 months you are happy. Then you want a new song. You get bored with it. Then you go for a chess game and you become an All India champion. You know, your happiness will last for 10, 20, 30 years. Till someone defeats you, you will be, you know, happy. It can last for 10, 20, 30 years also. Or you are the first one to plant, you know, place the flag in Mount Everest. And that your ego will be satisfied, but for one lifetime. Next lifetime you will be born, you don't even know who I was in the previous life. Correct, no? Whereas the spiritual bliss which you get, it can never be taken away from you. It is your permanent asset. So whatever bhakti you are doing now, it will go into your account called as Krishna Conscious Bank account, which is like an indelible file. See, in computer, sometimes you put your cursor and say delete, you know. Some files get deleted, but there are some command files and all. You put your cursor and say delete, access denied. Why? Because access is only possible for Krishna only. So nobody can delete. Yamaraj, Yamadutas cannot delete that account. Either in heaven or in hell, nobody can delete the account because it is Krishna's account. And it is accessible only to Krishna. So that's the karma we are all accumulating every day. You have completed your 16 rounds today, so it has gone to your eternal bank account. So that is why we want to deposit in that account. And when that account becomes like ripened, you know, then Bhakti Baba awakens like a fire coming out of wood. It erupts. So we want to increase our Bhakti Sukriti. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank
you. So Prabhuji said, any other point? Prabhuji said? Anyone else? Prabhuji said, run out of points now. The Mataji's, let us see whether they take over. Huh? Mataji's have many points. Janam is going to say one, yes. I can tell.
Aham Purvam. So in the material world, like we discuss competition, we think other success is our failure. So
that is called scarcity mentality.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not that he can also succeed, I can also succeed. Yeah? So success has a very narrow definition in this world. So in order for us to not have that narrow definition, it is useful to know, there's a saying in English, success is not in the race won, and success is not in the medals won, but in the race run, it is said. Which means if you participate in some effort, that itself is success because you learn. For example, somebody wrote CAT exam. Yeah? 3 times somebody wrote and they didn't crack it. And they remained a cat or they became a rat. And they couldn't get into IIM or something. Can we say it's a waste of time? But they have memorized so many vocabs, which is never a waste of time. Is that not learning? But in modern times, people are so narrow-minded, they see like binary number, 1 or 0. Either I win or I lose, that's all. So, and also one should know, success may not be good for us always sometimes. Sometimes the success goes to our head and we become too proud and we may become very aggressive towards living entities. So sometimes Lord may withdraw the success to teach us some good lesson. So we should know that Lord knows best. That's the conclusion. God knows best. What is good for me? That's the conclusion. Yes. Then we will not have any problem. Any suffering or happiness. Okay, this is Krishna's plan for me, for purifying me. We understand. Thank you, Mataji. Nice.
Today we had a ladies' meeting and we were discussing about the recent pujari who got killed in Bangladesh.
Where is it? Huh?
His throat was slit. Yes. So there were very recent news. I think Jayadeva Prabhuji, you know about it? He's gone? He's not there. So he was in the morning getting ready for the with the puja thali and the aarti, and the enemies came and slit his throat. And we don't know whether he's surviving or not. So they were asking, how do we see it? In what vision? Can you answer?
So, Mataji came to know about some pujari in Bangladesh whose throat was slit and he was a devotee. So, how do we see it? One example comes to my mind. In Portland, in America, Portland is actually ahead of Seattle. Yeah? Next to Seattle is Portland. So, there was a temple, ISKCON temple, and Prabhupada came there and he gave a diksha to the people. And one fellow got initiated, his name was Ram Ranjan Das, Prabhupada gave him. His earlier name was Mr. Dosa. And Prabhupada, he was a Muslim. Prabhupada gave him initiation, his name was Ram Ranjan Das. And then 1 week later, there was some car accident and that fellow passed away, you know. So many devotees had a question mark in their heads. You know, he was initiated, he was a good devotee, why this happened to him? And they all, and Prabhupada wrote a letter to devotees. And he also wrote a letter to Mrs. Dosa also. He wrote 2 separate letters. And amazingly, Prabhupada has written, he is telling the devotees that, see, this Ram Ranjan Das was a professor in a university and his Muslim friends were threatening him very much that you have to give up this kantimala, give up this bead bag, you should be a Muslim, kafir mat bano, you know, that kind of thing.
Another thing was, his home was some 300 miles away, very far away, he could not come. And his wife was also anti-Krishna consciousness. She was also anti. And also, although Mr. Dosa was very interested to do render service, he was in economically not so well-to-do family. So he had to work hard for making money, and he could not render service, although his spirit was very high. So like this, Prabhupada gives five reasons. You know, and then Prabhupada says that because of all these very precarious positions, Krishna took him away. And then he will place him in a family where, you know, right from birth, he will meet a Krishna conscious mother, Krishna conscious father. He will see his mother with tilak, father with tilak. He can eat prasad. Every morning he can attend arati. You know, yeah, Prabhupada said, you can be very confident Krishna will place him in such a family, he said. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter to Mrs. Dosa, who was actually anti before. Now when her husband passed away, the Muslim community told her that, you know, you be with us. And then she had two choices, either to join ISKCON community or join the Muslim community. And she saw that in her community there may be a lot of exploitation, there is danger and she will be a widow. Considering that, now she picked up Krishna consciousness seriously and joined Hare Krishna community. She came and she became a very serious devotee and she got very good protection from other ladies. She joined the ladies' ashram and things like that. So, Prabhupada later on told the devotees, just see, you know, Krishna made her serious in Krishna consciousness and he took away Mr. Dosa and Ramaranjan Das and put him in another favorable situation. See, our problem is we see the present isolated from the past and future. Correct, no? We only see only the present. So it's like very bewildering to us. Just like when Mataji is doing embroidery or something, you know, she's doing some scenery or something. You know, below it looks very complicated, different color threads, you know. When if a child is looking from bottom, you will think, what is mother wasting time with? It looks very clumsy, it looks. But you see from mother's point of view, you will see a very beautiful picture. So in the same manner, now this Bangladesh Pujari was worshipping the Lord in the morning. You know, now suddenly how this can happen to him? See, for example, if somebody has looted a Reserve Bank of India, he was in jeans and t-shirt, and he's going in auto, police are chasing him, he jumps off out of the auto and immediately changes over from lungi to a, you know, jeans. He changes over from jeans to a lungi, and instead of t-shirt, he wears a shirt and immediately shaves his mustache. And then he goes in a bike very fast. Do you think police will catch him or not? They will catch him. It's the same person, no? The veshbhusha has changed, but the person is same. Similarly, the soul in one particular body commits sin. In the next body, then he leaves the body and occupies another body. But in that body, no matter how pious he becomes, how wonderful he becomes, the old karmic reactions are still there. It's not escaped. Although Krishna says, I remove all the karmic reactions, karmani nirudhati. No, Krishna will take away your karmic reactions, but not burn them away. He will keep and watch what you are doing. In case you are doing not doing so well, he will release them a little bit in order to keep you in Krishna consciousness. So somebody may be pujari, but what is his character? What is his background? As a pujari, how he lived? You are assuming that he is a very wonderful devotee. Correct, no? He was doing puja in the morning. Actually, every one of us know who we are. We know about our personality. We know our dark side of our personality. We know the bright side of our personality. But to other people, what will we reveal? Very good. We will only reveal our bright side of personality. And dark side is known to us and the super soul. We can be assured one thing. God is an embodiment of love. And he cannot do anything harmful to anyone. Meaninglessly, foolishly, he cannot do it. If somebody has been a pujari, he is murdered, there are also other reasons. Like for example, some brahmacharis or somebody like that, they foolishly think that we will cultivate some Muslims and Prabhupada will be pleased. You know, like one Mataji, Muslim Mataji, went to Mayapur. She took Diksha from Japataka Maharaj. You know, Maharaj gave her single Diksha alone, you know, along with one devotee in a room. And Maharaj told her, you should wear burqa, you should continue to be a Muslim, and bead bag you can keep inside your burqa and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Nobody will find out in the daytime you can chant. But take care. And you can chant with their Muslim mala also. You can chant. You have become Krishna conscious, but you don't have to reveal outside to other people. Like that he said. But sometimes some brahmacharis are foolish. They try to preach to people. One reason is they might have unnecessarily endangered themselves. That one possibility. Another possibility is, in one place abroad also, somebody advised a wife that don't stay with your husband, he is in Maya. So you leave the husband and stay more with devotees. Then non-devotee husbands become angry and they violently react towards devotees. That is another reason. Sometimes somebody may be brahmachari, but he must have fallen prey to some illicit connections, which may be hidden. Others may not know, somebody may know, and the husband may want to take a revenge. He may even kill him and go and surrender to police. In Pune, I heard, it was very shocking information, that some lady was having illicit connection with a man other than her husband. So husband cut off her head and was walking in the road with her head. It came in WhatsApp. Any of you saw that? Few months back, yeah. Such kind of things happen. When murder is involved, we can know there is a possibility of some illicit connection, things like that. So what I am saying is, when you hear a distant information, we presume everything is wonderful. Correct, no? When you analyze it a little bit rationally, you will, or when you get closer to the case, you will understand that there may be some complications in that, which we are not aware of.
China also went, Jayadev Prabhuji went, his family, son was killed.
Actually, in Guyana and other places, I will ask you a simple question. One of the devotees from Pune went there, you know, in Africa. So he's staying with Kadamakanand Maharaj's disciples. So one day he was working in the laptop in the night, sitting and lying down in his bed like this curtain kind of thing. Suddenly two hands came from the window like this. And one hand was carrying a gun. Another hand was doing like this. That means give your laptop. So should he give or not?
Yes, yes, yes.
He immediately gave the laptop. Then both the hands went out. Then he closed the window after that. But there are foolish devotees who will say that I will not give in. Then they try to take it. Shoots. Then he takes the laptop and goes. So many times if you carefully see any instance that happens, there must have been some foolishness on the part of devotees also. Like for example, if a devotee early morning...
Young boy was trying to protect his parents. The robber came and he said, take me to your house, open the door and I will give you to your family. He said, no, I will not let you go inside my house.
See, that's the point.
He protected his parents and his property. They killed him on.
No, actually in Africa the principle is if you allow, even he told this this fellow, what is his name? This Madhav Mataji's brother, no? He told that in Africa if you open the house to them, they can come and loot whatever they want and go. Nobody will kill you. If you try to either assault them or try to resist, then only they attack. And this is a general norm amongst police people. You know this Rajat Ranjan Bala in Kadakpur, he was going in a bike with his father. Father was sitting behind, he was driving. So, he's a devotee also. When he was driving, suddenly 3-4 thieves came. They blocked them and said, no, bike ko chodo. And the Rajaratan Bala is a very mature staff in the IIT Kharagpur, young man. And he said, thik aap lelo, no problem. He knows how to get the bike back later on. But father was not happy. He said, it's a new bike? You want to give it away? You have spent 60,000, 80,000 in those days. Then the father was catching the thieves, and he's an old man. Father is 60-year-old, and the police cut in the hands with a different place, you know, with a knife. And the father was screaming, and he fell on the ground. Then those fellows took it. So Rajaratan Bala immediately went to hospital, put his father in hospital, went to police station, gave complaint. Within 3 hours, he got it back. Bike came back after that. I think many times the response of the devotees could be wrong also. One thing, we should not comment on anything without knowing the complete picture. We know only partial picture. But we can be assured about one thing, wherever you may be, what Krishna is doing with anyone, nothing is injustice. He knows who deserves what and who needs what. He knows exactly. And Rajanath Maharaj said when the flight aircraft crash had happened, he said that the material karma acts on the material body, he said. And the spiritual good karma, sukritis we do, that goes with the spirit soul. So you don't have to worry at all. Either the body, like he said, you know, that Ganeshyam Prabhu or somebody in that Krishnadas Prabhu, Vrindavan, one automobile accident, next moment he's back to Godhead. Is that better? Or you lie in the bed with cancer and coma for 15 years? You know, all devotees prefer the first one. You know, so we do not know the background, why Krishna is doing what. If you can be a Trikala Jnani, we will know. You know, but by studying the Shastra, more and more deeply we will see Krishna's extreme maturity and extreme delicateness and sensitivity in dealing with the jivas. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. See, we ourselves are in this lifetime also committing many mistakes. We are trying to rise above, like for example, even after we become devotees, by our thought, word and deed, can anybody say that we don't commit any injury to other living beings? Can any of us say, you know, verbally, you know, by thought, by our... So, one has to know that I am not very innocent. If some sufferings come in my life, you know, I should not assume that I have become a devotee, I am wonderful. I am not wonderful. I still have many problems. And I need to be rectified. And if rectification needs some pain, Krishna wants to give me some disease, or Krishna wants to give me some suffering, I should be willing to accept. That is actually right attitude of a devotee. Atmakritam vipakam. What is that verse? Tatyena kampam srasmekshamana bunjana evatma kritam. For my own karmic reactions are coming in my life, I can't blame Krishna. That is the right attitude of a devotee. In fact, we should think Krishna is giving only a token. So, and these are all words of, immortal words of Brahma in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I wanted to at the end thank His Grace Nadia Bihari Prabhu and Champaklata Mataji, who has been guiding and training all of you many years. And they had made a request that they have some important things to do with their children and growing and everything. Once they came to me also and said, it will be nice, Prabhu, if somebody can take responsibility of this. At the time, they had chosen the names of Swaminathan Prabhu and Prabhu. What is the initiated name? Hasmukhkrishna Prabhu. Hasmukhkrishna Prabhu. And one more they had said. Who is that?
Chicago.
He's in Chicago. What is his name? Yeah, so they told me, and then later on, these devotees were wanting some very good support of some very senior devotee, and then we fortunately had Janamata back in Pune with us, which is a great blessing upon Pune. So Mahana Maharaj in one Pune Yatra called Mataji as Pune Aishwari. So she is one of the first congregation members to organize a program in her house and bring more than 150 devotees under one roof. You can imagine. This is unheard of in ISKCON, anywhere a congregation program happening in a house. Her house was not a house, it was a temple actually, with such a long hall. You know, it was two houses combined, Mataji. Two houses combined. She used to cook for everybody very happily. And Shamsundar, Radha Shamsundar were worshipped so well. I used to study in Matharan Pratt Company. I used to work there and Maharaj told me to go there to Jana Mata's place for the programs. So I used to go. Night they would put Shamsundar to sleep, Soja Soja song, you know. Isn't it? I still remember. Actually, I wanted the full song, I only know part of it. Chandan ke ban palana, correct? Resham ke bani dori. So that much I remember. So, it was a very beautiful, you know, it was such a beautiful temple and worship and fountains and celebrations, festivals. It's a fact that all the prominent leaders in Pune have come from that. Jayadepu Satyut Mataji, Vamshikopalpur, Radhika Mataji, such kind of devotees came. So, I also got a lot of nourishment going there in 92, 93. And then 94 I joined. So from that, when Maharaj told me, when you are going to Pune temple and starting Brahmacharya Ashram, you have nothing to worry because already you have congregation, ready-made support. And that will expand over the years. So now Janamata has kindly agreed to give support to this group, which is a great blessing. In fact, from her program only, many, many programs separately started and the counseling started. Adya Verpuchampakalata Mataji started their separate counseling. Now again, to take her Mataji's shelter and guidance is very natural for all of you. She's very experienced and she has especially got the blessing of Maharaj and Prabhupada. Such kind of service attitude is very rare to see. So, I'm very thankful to Mataji also for giving wonderful support. She's also having another program for very elderly Matajis like Madhumati Mataji and others. She is taking that program also separately. Very wonderful.